Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRA Resources. And just a reminder for those tuning in for the first time, CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's get started. Angela, what is the hot topic we've discussed this week?
Well, welcome back to everybody to today's roundtable. Super excited about this topic because it's an area that we see a lot, but no one really talks about. And it's targeted towards individuals who have been asked to provide a reference. And so it could be a supervisor reference, or some companies ask for peer or lateral references. If we're interviewing a manager, we'll also ask for direct reports, so people that they supervise. If you're a CRA, we'll ask for site references. So we try to do like the whole 360 thing. So no matter where you are in the matrix, you could be asked to provide a reference. And so this is targeted just towards you. We're going to talk a little bit about the basics you need to know whenever you come to the call, some things that will behoove you to know so you're not scrambling. And we're going to also talk about the times that maybe you get asked to provide a reference and you don't feel comfortable giving it for a whole host of reasons, how you can handle those requests with respect and clarity. And then on the flip side, if you're asked to provide a reference, what kind of dialogue should you have with the candidate to be able to provide the best reference possible to ensure that type of fit. So the goal today is to address the referee, new word, the referee, in order to better support the candidate, but also to be respectful for both sides of the fence.
Oh, I like this one. We're taking it from the other side. We almost nobody talks about how to give a reference. That's really interesting. I'm probably going to have a lot of interjections because I conduct a lot of these calls on behalf of our firm. So I'm really excited to dig in. So team, who wants to start?
Well, I think you should kind of start by preparing for giving a reference. If someone's asked you to be a reference for them, take a minute and, you know, have a discussion with them just really quickly and, you know, ask what role are you applying for and why are you interested in it? What have you already talked with the hiring manager about so you can be ready for that call? It could be helpful to maybe look at a copy of their resume or a copy of the job posting just to, you know, be really prepared, be able to talk about relevant things that when you talk with the hiring manager. And then maybe think through some things like questions that you might be asked commonly on as a reference. You know, how do you know the candidate? What were their interpersonal skills like, or their problem solving skills, or what were their strengths or weaknesses? You might want to kind of verify some facts ahead of time so you're not kind of stumped if they ask you, oh, what were the dates you worked with that candidate? And, you know, if you're a manager, you've worked with a lot of people, so it might not be at the top front of your memory exactly the dates you worked with them.
And don't throw out dates that might not be right.
Exactly.
That's huge, Jenny. I get probably, I would say maybe 80% of the calls that I make to references, they get stumped on that question. Oh gosh, when did we work together? Was it pre-COVID or post-COVID? Or I don't know. That is a really important one because part of our reference check process is trying to see the quality of the candidate, but a part of it is also a fraudulence detection. I don't know if you guys listening know, fraudulence is rampant in our industry, rampant. So that's a big part of what we're trying to do is make sure everything's copacetic and everything lines up, and the most accurate you can be in giving your reference will go a long way for vetting this candidate in terms of fraudulence. And definitely don't get offended at some questions we try to ask that try to root that out. We're just trying to make sure that everything's legit all the way around. So that date question we ask is an important one. You know, some questions we ask are, if you're a hiring manager, what's your management style? And most people look at that from the environment of working with the manager. Are you a micromanager? Do you handhold a lot, or do you just let them, you know, free range work and check in every now and again, things like that? We're also not just fraudulence, but trying to make a good match for the environment that we're putting this person in. So there's many factors that go into all the questions that we're asking. Every question has a purpose. So the most accurate you can be, the better. Great point, Jenny.
I would also say it starts, oh, sorry.
No, Angela. I was gonna stick on the dialogue point just a little bit with Jenny real quick, but don't lose your thought, Natalie, because I talk to a lot of references too whenever I ask them, well, do you know why they're leaving whatever company they're leaving, or why they're looking, or, you know, what kind of further development can you, you know, suggest, or those types of things? They're like, I don't know. I really don't know what they're looking for. They haven't dialogued with that candidate. And it's not the reference's fault necessarily. It could be the candidate's fault, but I think it's important. Jenny's point is a very valid one. To the extent where you can, have that conversation with the individual who's asked you to be that reference and ask those questions. Why is this perfect for you? What kind of skills do you need to have to be successful in the role? Where do you want me to focus? Those types of things, because we don't want you to be fake. But if they're really, 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 really good at negotiation, and this is a negotiation job, then they need to tell you that so that you can really spend some time on quantifying or qualifying those skills. And that upfront dialogue is really, really important.
And there are times when I've been that I've been talking to a reference. Sorry, Natalie's still on the
Natalie, you're fine. I'm just gonna hang tight.
But where I've been talking to a reference, I said, "Well, I'm considering them for this job," and I've had managers kind of step back and say, "Oh, I didn't know that's something they'd be interested in." It's like, I thought they didn't want to travel. And I'm almost like, really? So they don't want
to
travel?
I come back to me and say, wow, that seems like a step down for them.
Right. So it's good to have the conversation.
Yeah, it is. Go, Natalie.
Woohoo! No, actually, that all feeds into, like, what I was going to say, as far as like, it also starts with the candidate, you know, having those conversations with the references that you're thinking about providing, not only the reference having the conversation with who asked them, but also the candidate and asking them, hey, are you willing and able to, this is what I'm kind of going for. If it was a little bit different than what they were working with that old reference, let them know this has changed. This is what I'm looking for. I'm hoping I get this. Would you be willing and able to? Because it really, really starts from there. Because it's so, I don't want to be negative, but frustrating when you give someone, you know, here's the next steps. Reference check is the next step. We need this amount of references, or we need these type of references. And they just come back and just don't do the work. So it just almost shows like, so if you're not going to do the work, or if you're not going to put in the time to make sure you handpick your references and have conversations with them, how is that going to look for you when you are looking for a job? You know what I mean? It's not going to get you that far. So
Start the train rolling.
Yeah, exactly.
What you provide is what we're going with. So
exactly.
It absolutely starts with the candidate and them making the right decisions.
Yeah.
That reminds me, Savannah, of what you had said before. You want to tell everybody your experience lately?
Yeah, right. So my biggest question is, are you comfortable saying no when someone asks you to be a reference, or are you passive about it? And when I say passive, I mean, do you accept to be a reference for someone, and then as soon as, you know, a firm like us contacts them, or contacts you, sorry, and you just ghost us, we don't receive an email to talk to you or anything, or passive in a way that, you know, we do reach out to the reference and they schedule an appointment and a call with us, but then they miss the call, or they say that, oh, I was busy, something came up, and I asked to reschedule, and they never come back. So it's important to be able to say no. And I understand how it, you know, might not be comfortable because, you know, maybe you don't have positive things to say, or you're worried that we're going to tell the candidate what you said about them in the, you know, reference call, but we're not doing that. So that's okay. But there was a moment recently, a few weeks ago, where I got an email from one of the candidates going through the reference process, and he just asked me how things were going. It had been like probably 4 days at that point that he was in the reference process. And I was just like, yeah, well, you're still currently, you know, in our process, but I haven't heard from this manager or supervisor that you listed. If you want to give them a nudge in an email to let them know that we've contacted them, you know, that'd be cool. And his response was to email me back, and he said, yikes, that's my current manager. And I'm just like, Ooh, well, yikes.
And maybe they haven't yikes. Gotten around to it. Maybe, you know, the email got lost in spam or whatnot. But we do follow-up calls to make sure, hey, did too. You get our email? So yeah. if they don't come back, we start reading between the lines, and you don't want us to do that.
Mm-hmm. Or would they provide a phone number for the whole company instead of a direct line? So. Yes.
But I think the point is a very valid one. If you've been asked to provide a reference, because I get asked to provide references for individuals that I've fired before, and I'm thinking to myself, really? So, I mean, but here's the thing. I always tell them, I will be a reference for you, but I will be completely honest. So depending on the questions, you may not be happy with the outcome. So if you feel that that's appropriate, then use me as a reference. And when they call me to schedule time with me, I will have a phone call with them. But you may want to think about choosing someone else. But I'm honest, and then I'm not passive. And if they do, you know, most companies just send you this really benign survey form on a scale of 1 to 10. What was your communication style? We don't. We, you know, to Becky's point, we actually have a conversation with the supervisors, and it's very open-ended, and, you know, and because we're really building relationships as well and trying to figure fit, like she talked about, and all that stuff. So if you don't want to give a reference, say, I don't want to give a reference. It's much better to do it that way than, to Savannah's point, to just ghost the people that are reaching out to you, because eventually the candidate's going to fail anyway because they don't have references, and let them go find somebody else as appropriate. With that being said, there are also times whenever candidates don't ask you to be a reference, and then all of a sudden a firm like us is calling us and saying, Becky listed you as a reference, and you're going, what?
That's
so
awkward.
There is that too. Feel free to say, Becky didn't ask my permission to be a reference. I don't feel comfortable being a reference. Honesty is going to be your best policy here. You know, we're going to be very respectful about what we give back to the candidate, but it's important that you be really honest. Don't waste your time if you don't feel good about filling a reference. Even if we reach out to you and say, hey, Becky said give us, you know, you'd be a reference, say no, Becky didn't ask me, or no, I don't feel comfortable doing it. Just be honest, save your time, save the candidate's time, because at that point we'll go back and say, you know, your supervisor reference has said they're not able to give you a reference. You might want to pick another reference, so we give them another chance. But if you just ghost us, it's a fail.
Yeah, or if you provide a really bland one. I had one of these this week where every question I said, so can you describe their communication skills? Oh, great. Period. Silence. Okay, well, how would you say they handled conflict? Fine.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's like, if you're just going to provide a bland one-word answer reference, that's not very helpful
not
for the candidate.
It's not going to get us there either. Yeah.
No, so don't provide one if you're just going to make it really bland and short. And we know your time is precious. We get that. And we know it's kind of a pain sometimes to have a phone conversation. We try to keep it short and sweet. But as a hiring manager, don't you appreciate the depth that we go to make sure that we're rooting out the quality candidates and rooting out fraudulence and making sure we do a deep dive on these folks. As a hiring manager, hopefully you can appreciate that. So keep
that
in mind.
Point. Yeah, because if the tables were turned, you would want to make sure that we were. Yeah, it's a good point.
We were vetting them fully. Yeah.
And there's easy ways to say no, too. You can simply say, I don't feel that I can be a strong reference for you. I recommend that you can speak to someone that can speak to your performance a little bit more positively.
Yeah.
Two sentences, it'll let you off the hook. That guy will never call you again ask you to be a reference.
Yeah, and if you do decide to be a reference as well, like Carrie was saying, and you know, and you don't have positive things to say, but you still choose to be the reference for somebody, make sure you're sticking to facts. Don't start letting personal bias jump in there where, like, you have opinions about who they are. It's like, nope, you got to talk about what you, gossip and stuff. Don't do that. It's a twofold thing. One, it impacts your credibility as a hiring manager. It's like, oh, who is this person? What's the, how are they interacting in the clinical research realm? Is this the energy? Is this who they are? It's your words reflect on the reference and they reflect on you. And that's important to remember. And then additionally, if you really dive into the negative and the personal bias, you can sometimes cross into legal trouble with a bad faith reference, which is like, it's misleading or overly negative. And, you know, the idea is you're damaging someone's attempts at getting a job. Maybe they are bad at their job, but you got to stick to the facts. You cannot veer off into gossip.
Were they laid off reports? Yes, they were.
They were laid off reports.
We want to know those things. We need to know if they were bad with the fact stuff. Were they laid on their reports? Did they not communicate well? Did they, you know, all those things. We need to know those. So thank you for telling us those things. But go ahead, Maya.
I was going to say there's a difference between like saying, they were consistently laid on reports to saying they were chaotic and lazy and I could never get their work in on time. And I was like, those are very different sentences. So you need to be careful. Oh, gosh. So,
well, and just, then it's those people who at the end of the call say, hey, do you have any jobs for me? I'm always like, oh, blah, blah.
No, there's times like, I can see why they left you.
Yeah.
Rachel, you were going to say something. I saw you go off mute.
Well, yes. To everybody's point, I just want to say that providing references is actually an important part of networking. It's a relationship between you and the candidate. I mean, hiring managers might not know when do they need those candidates to provide reference for them as well, as they're, you know, exactly. So it is very important to nurture that relationship. And if in case you are not able or the hiring managers are not comfortable providing that references, might as well say to the candidate because of these reasons and these reasons, instead of just saying yes. And then when we reach out to them via email or phone call, we're not getting any response, or they're telling us that per company policy, they cannot provide the reference. It will just leave like a bad taste on the other person's mouth. So it doesn't, you know, nurture the relationship. And at the same time, if you are a colleague and being asked as a manager reference, although you guys have a relationship, but I suggest you do not participate in those kind of fraudulent things. Otherwise, you are ruining your chances to be represented by our company in the future.
Well, that's another question to ask the candidate is, what did you say I was? Because our firm is a little different. We don't take colleague equivalent role references. So like if you're a CRA, we're not going to take your CRA co-monitor as a reference, right? Peers are not acceptable for our process. So perhaps saying, I'm a lead. I was a co-monitor with you on this study. But I guess I was a lead with you on this study. Is that the reference you need me to give? Is it the peer reference or is it the...
Be clear. Because the lead one will. But Rachel's point is a very valid one because we see this all the time. And we do keep track of who provides references. And we had a gal that, I don't know, Carrie, a couple of years ago that long? But she provided a reference as a supervisor to somebody. And then just a couple of weeks ago, another individual asked her to provide a reference as a site coordinator. And she actually got on the phone with Carrie, and Carrie said, but I don't understand where you were, you know, and the gal hung up on Carrie.
She hung up on me. And I had to downgrade the other lady, too.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my goodness.
So she either lied then or she's lying now. I mean, we don't know where it was, but now we don't trust it. And unfortunately, to Carrie's point, the individual that asked her to provide a reference 2 years ago, now we have doubts about that candidate because we know the gal's not being honest with us at some point. And then another
guy will come back to bite you. Be honest.
Yeah. And then another guy just this week, we looked at a reference form this week, and dang, if her name didn't pop back up again, but now she's in a different title, you know? And I'm like, dang, are you like a reference for hire? The problem though with that is that not only is the individual that's providing the fraudulent reference is now has a tainted reputation, but every individual, and there could be good individuals who don't know that this reference has frauded other references that use her, and now we have a shadow of doubt. So it really is about just being honest, ethical, being transparent, and just, you know, sharing, because the whole spirit of the reference process, yes, we want to validate competency. Yes, we want to validate fraud, you know, or rule out fraudulence. But ultimately, we're looking for the right fit. So whenever we're talking about things like management style, the company culture, whatever, the clarity that we gather here might mean that we might not represent them to a large CRO because they don't do well that environment, but they love small startups. That's the reasons for a lot of those questions, is to find that right fit. And it's really important to have those dialogues. And that's why our attrition level is so low, is because we're trying to find the perfect match, not just is the person qualified, but will the person thrive in this environment? And those conversations are really important to be able to make that happen.
All right. Well, any final thoughts, team, before we wrap it up?
Just that in most cases, your reference will remain confidential. So if you have something negative to say about someone and you want to protect other hiring managers from working with this individual, and again, this isn't gossip, this is real life bad situations, please take the time to make the phone call, because I can promise you every reference we take will remain confidential, and we appreciate you taking the time to speak with us.
And and you're legally allowed to do it, because the candidate has given your name to provide a personal reference. It's not a background check. It's a personal reference. And so to Maya's point, keep to the facts. But I agree with Carrie. It's about putting the candidate in a place to where they will excel, but then protecting a company in a place the candidate won't excel. So it really is for the benefit of everybody.
All right. Great way to wrap it up. Thank you so much, team, for this discussion. And thank you all out there for listening. If you want to explore more of our content, you can visit creresources.com/blog to check out our latest articles and additional podcasts. You can also sign up to get this content delivered straight to your inbox. And feel free to reach out at creresources.com for more information about our firm. We all can't wait to work with you.